You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to hit one story that's in the news. It's affecting most of the country, not all of the country. And that's the number one story on the news is the snowstorm that's hitting the Northeast. Now, I'm originally from the Northeast, from New York, was born in Brooklyn, and I spent my younger years not only in Brooklyn, but also on Long Island in a town called Wantagh, and that's in Nassau County. Now, I'm bringing that up for a reason. When I was a small child, we got a lot of snow. Sometimes it was a foot, sometimes it was 2 feet, sometimes it was three. And guess what we had to do? We had to shovel the snow off the driveway, off the walkways. Me and my brother, that was our assigned job because my father, who was in the Army, was usually away. So we had the task of cleaning both the driveway and the steps as well as the walkways. And it was sort of fun, but it gets old after you've done it, you know, half a dozen times or more. And winter, that's what happened. Usually in December, January, sometimes even into March, we would have to go out, shovel the snow, and then we could go play, make snowmen. And then usually what we did is we took our sleighs to a nearby hill and slid down the hill. I think one time I almost killed myself doing that because I ran into a tree and I literally was about an inch from hitting my head. Fortunately, I was on further back on the sled than normal, and that saved my life. But after that, I did not go down that hill. I learned rather quickly. Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, today, if you listen to the news, especially the news out of New York City, you would think that this is, they're saying it's probably the worst snowstorm ever. I doubt it. Who knows? It could be, but most likely it's not going to be. And it's winter. You expect snow. If you live in the Northeast, you expect snow. And there are people that actually make money cleaning sidewalks. I know some people that had part-time jobs when they were going to college, not myself, but other people that would go around the neighborhoods and offer to clean the sidewalks off. So it actually employed a lot of young people when the snow came in, and usually you're off from school. And it's usually announced in the morning that the school is closed. However, we knew that, yes, the school is closed, but our first assignment that morning after breakfast was to clean the sidewalks, and we did. And after that, we could go play. And literally, hundreds of thousands of children in the Northeast are going to be doing that tonight as well as tomorrow because a snowstorm is about to hit. Now, it affects the whole country in this regard. Southwest Airlines is canceling dozens of flights out of their Love Field facility, as are other airliners that fly from Dallas-Fort Worth ultimately into New York City or the Newark airport. So snow can affect everybody's life. You don't have to be in the area that's being hit to appreciate it. I sort of went back. I put a map for those that are not familiar with Long Island. That's the landmass that's sort of sticking out into the Atlantic. So whenever, and it's on the ocean, and this, in other words, a lot of moisture is coming, and it's literally usually Long Island, New York City, Connecticut, and as you go north into Massachusetts, gets hit, as well as Rhode Island. Now, and that's been my experience with snow on the Northeast, but I need to quickly add, I lived in Ohio for 5 years when I was in the military, in Dayton, Ohio, in a little town called Fairborn. Now, I thought the snow in New York was bad, but I remember several storms in Ohio that were a lot worse. I mean, 4, 5, 6 feet. And fortunately, I rented an apartment. I didn't have to clean the walkways. They hired somebody to do that. That was part of the dues or rent I paid. And the people are used to it. That's something you need to. I've driven in snow many times in the morning coming back, usually from a night out. And they're sort of fun because when you do that, especially if it's early in the morning, there's not many people out. Now, what most people do is have snow tires, or if they really think it's serious, what they do is have chains, which does eat up the road, but that's one way to handle it. Now, right now, I've been living in Texas for several decades. And on rare occasions, we get snow. Not that often. It's rare, and it usually is a freak event. You know, we'll have it for a day or two, and then it's gone. And, oh, a couple of years ago, we had probably the worst snow we ever had. It was inches, folks. It wasn't feet. I think of deep snow in terms of feet, not inches. Having a couple inches of snow is nothing. The biggest problem in Texas is they don't have the snow plows. At best, all they can do is put salt on the overpasses, the bridges that go over highways. And they get rather treacherous. I can vouch for it because I have to drive over them, both coming and going to, coming back from where I live from the campus. But it's really ice that's the problem in Texas, especially Dallas, Texas. I used to go usually in the winter vacations during Christmas time to visit my parents when they were living in Florida. And one time, I remember this vividly, I usually would come back a little after the first or second and fly back. And I came into Dallas-Fort Worth. It was nice and warm, and at that time, my parents lived in Jacksonville. So I flew back, and it was ice cold. I mean, bitter, bitter cold. And it must have taken me 2 to 3 hours to get out of the parking lot. Now, the problem wasn't the parking lot. The problem was I had about 2 inches of sheer ice on my windshield, and I literally had it. And I had, fortunately, a scraper. That's one thing you learn. You better get an ice scraper. And I did have it, but it took me forever to clear the windshield. So that's what you have to, that's kind of the worst case in Dallas, Texas. Is occasionally you'll get some ice on the road, and that usually is in this time period. It's usually late December, early January that we have icy conditions. Now, occasionally it could pop up in February and March, but usually December and January are the worst, and they call it winter. So I've experienced a range of situations. I much prefer living in Dallas for a lot of reasons. One, we don't have income taxes. It's more kind to businesses. If you're starting your own businesses or your clients or businesses, which mine were. So it's a friendly business environment. It could be better, but we don't have higher and higher taxes. And that's why many people and many corporations that were in New York have fled New York City. At one time, General Dynamics was in New York City, no longer. I don't know where they are now. They've sold a lot of their divisions. I work for them in the Fort Worth division. And ExxonMobil, for example, also was in New York City and moved to a suburb of Dallas, Plano. Toyota, who was based in California, has just started construction of a new headquarters facility. I believe it's in Plano. So a lot of corporations are moving to more business-friendly geographic locations. Now, Dallas is very centrally located. It's in the middle of the country. So you can get to really any spot in the United States. It takes you about maybe 2 hours, 2.5, actually flying time. So it's really convenient. So it's really attractive from an economic point of view as well as a geographic point of view. Now, why did I pick this as a news story? Because obviously, if you're listening to me in Dallas, you really don't have much interest and what the weather is going to be in New England. But if you're trying to go to New England or go connect to a flight where you have to go through the New York City, Newark area, you're going to have problems. And like they always say, check with your airline before going to check in at the flight because it might be canceled. So I give you that advice. I have, ever since 9-1-1, I frankly have avoided flying Fortunately, I haven't had to do much of it. At one time, I was a regular. I'd fly at least once a week when I was, especially when I was in the Air Force. That gets very old rather quick. I'd much rather stay home. To some people, that's exciting, but not to me. It's just time. Now, it's valuable time. You can spend a lot of time reading, and that's what I, when I was, I've crisscrossed this country several times on long flights. That's what I normally do. But why am I focusing on the New York City weather? Well, invariably what happens, and I haven't seen it yet, but it's gonna happen. Mark my words, it's gonna happen. Someone is gonna say, this is due to climate change. They used to call it global warming. Now it's climate change. And that's due to man. We are the cause of climate change. People who say that are arrogant and ignorant. Let me say it again, they're arrogant and ignorant. Why? They don't know what they're talking about. But they have an agenda. And it's usually what I call the watermelons. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. And red, I mean socialists, communists, progressives, liberals, the lefties, the lunatic left. Now, why do they go after man-made global warming? Dun, 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 dun. It's going to kill us. It's harming the planet. We must stop the pollution, the carbon dioxide pollution. Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. And this is an important point. Everyone I know of, no matter what side of the argument they are regarding man-made global warming, believes in climate change. I believe in climate change. And that needs to be said because what the left tries to say, you don't believe in climate change? I says, of course I believe in climate change. Everyone believes in climate change because if you look at the history of the Earth, that's the one constant has been climate has been changing for hundreds, really billions of years. Remember, the planet is approximately 4.6 billion years. That's 4,000, roughly 600 million years. That's the history or the lifespan of the planet. Now, you got to remember, if you look at climate change, it depends on what period you're looking at. Now, I'm emphasizing this to give you the big picture. What I'm talking about initially is what's referred to as geologic time, where we're talking millions of years. And I need to say this for those that are new listeners to the show. The way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll see a picture of yours truly in the K-Duck studio with a nice smile. But below that, you'll have my most recent shows, usually between 60 to 80 shows, a four-month period. Underneath that, you'll have what I call part of my show prep. And that consists of articles, photos, YouTube videos, newspaper articles, opinion pieces. I try to give you information that you can look at and make up your own mind. I always say, do your own homework, have an open mind, do your own homework, and I try to give you pointers or references to some of the material that I've looked at. And I have fun with it. It's not all dead serious. As a matter of fact, I had a lot of fun by giving you several YouTube videos that I ran across. Some are funny, some are dead serious, and some are just great music or great songs. For example, I have, and that's why I'm pointing this out, I give you a mix. But one of the songs, I don't believe in her politics, but she's always been a great singer, and that's Barbara Streisand. And she's still a great singer. And she's a New York girl, too. I'm not sure whether she was from Brooklyn or the Bronx, but she was a good Jewish girl from New York City. And she's still a good Jewish girl, but she's a great singer. And she's singing Memory. So I point this out because I would recommend that you go listen to it. Urge you to listen to the song. There's a reason I put that song in, though. We need memories, and we have memories. And they're usually personal, family, friends, your childhood, growing up. And we need to remember what happened. Now, what I'm talking about is memories of a long time ago. We start out at geologic time, and you'll see there have been periods, long periods, millions of years, when we've been what's called in a ice age or glaciation, where there's been a where most of wherever the earth was, because the earth does move, and I don't want to give you a geology lecture on plate tectonics, but you need to get the big picture first. So you start out with the whole history of the planet, and you'll see we've had periods of glaciation. And that's when the earth gets very, very, very cold. And it's not very hospitable to life, whether that's animal or plant life. Now, if we zoom in to more recent times, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of years, for example, the last 450,000 or 400,000 years, and we get this information from various ice cores, you will see that we also have had periods of glaciation, and they are typically around 100,000 years in length. There's variability here, but I need to emphasize that. Doesn't mean they're exactly 100,000, but more or less there have been periods of ice ages or glaciation of about 100,000 years. And then between these ice ages, you have what's called interglacial or warming periods. And they typically are about 10,000 years. Again, both of them have a lot of variation, but that's the trend. Think of 100,000 years of ice age followed by about 10,000 years of warming followed by another 100,000 years of ice ages. And we're overdue for another ice age because you get differences of depending on what your source is. We're in about 11 to 12,000 years of a warming period. And you'll get an argument, are we going to stay in this period or are we going to go back into another ice age? I think what we really need to worry about is going back into another ice age, because that's deadly, folks, because ice literally covers large portions of our land mass. And at one time, for example, a good portion, about a third of the United States, was covered in ice, thick layers of ice. Now, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I like to say no sweat. Whether it's global warming or global cooling, I don't know. I mean, if you want to base it on past history, we're way overdue for another ice age. So I tend to be more concerned about ice ages. And you'll get an argument. But the watermelons, green on the outside, they're all for green energy, but they're socialists. They want to cripple capitalism, free enterprise. And the way they think they can do that is by to tax your use of energy, whether it's for gasoline that you need to power your car, whether it's your electric bill. And they want to stop the use, for example, of coal, which is a fuel that the United States is abundant in. And they're really against everything except windmills and solar power. The only problem, ladies and gentlemen, you can't run an industrialized country on wind or wind turbine. And these things are huge. I've been to West Texas and driven there, and there are spots. For example, if you go to Lubbock from Dallas, you'll go through an area that has a lot of these wind turbines. And they're very tall. The problem you have with both wind and solar is you have periods when the wind is not blowing and the sun isn't out. So invariably you need backup generation, electrical generation, and in Texas, until recently, that's been coal. But the watermelons are trying to shut down, through the EPA, the coal as a fuel to power our electrical plants. So what a lot of power plants are doing is switching to natural gas. They don't like that either, but it is cleaner. They're literally destroying our coal mining industry in West Virginia and Pennsylvania. But that's what they're about. And the problem is we can't solve, even if you believe that man is the cause of global warming. I don't, because literally there are over a dozen causes of climate change. And remember, we weren't here hundreds of millions of years ago, yet we have gone through, whether you look at it in geologic time, where you're talking millions of years, or whether you're talking in the most recent periods, like going back 450,000, 500,000 years, there either were no humans here or very few, yet we did have climate change. That's why I say, no matter, there are very few people, I don't know who, I'm not one of them, I believe in climate change. The question is, what's causing it? And there are a number of hypotheses, a number of theories used to explain it. And I'll probably add some more information to this post. It has a lot of information now, but the reason I'm bringing this up, invariably what's going to happen is they're going to blame this snowstorm, this severe snowstorm, on climate change. That's laughable. As long as I've been alive and was on the East Coast, we had winter and we had snowstorms. Some were mild, some were severe. It really depends on the weather, which has nothing to do really with climate. With climate, you're talking, or should be talking, hundreds of thousands of years, not what's happened in a few days. Yet that's what they're peddling. And the reason is, if it were warm, they would say it's climate change. It's global warming. When we have a severe storm, it's due to climate change. Everything is caused by climate change. And man is the cause of climate change. What I normally do with people that spout this stuff, I said, do me a favor. I want you to go outside and look up into the sky. And you'll see a yellow sphere. That's called the sun. And that is radiating heat and light. And let me tell you something, if that ever goes out, we freeze. We die rather quickly. It might not be instantaneous, but within weeks, months, at least a year or two, we'll be dead. Or a lot of people will be dead. It'll be very difficult to survive if the sun ever goes out. The sun is the primary cause or driver of climate change. That's hard to get through some people's head. And see, the problem is you have socialists, communists, the watermelons, that have been pushing this agenda through the United Nations and saying, using so-called climate models, that man is the cause or the primary driver of climate change. No, it's not. Now, they'll go on and on about, oh, we're putting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Yes, we are, but we're not the only ones. See, they want to say that the current increase in temperature is due to increases in carbon dioxide. It actually works the other way. As temperatures go up, the amount of carbon dioxide, it lags, eventually starts to go up. And conversely, when temperatures go down, what follows is, and it's a lag and it varies, carbon dioxide levels go down. So I have a number of charts showing temperature patterns as well as carbon dioxide patterns over time. Now, what you need to understand, yes, carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, and when you have increases of carbon dioxide, that has a greenhouse effect. In other words, it warms the planet. No one denies that. I agree with that. So there's really no debate here. The debate is over the amplification, because two-thirds of the estimated increase using these climate models is due to amplifying factors. And they're estimating that it will increase the temperature by a factor of about 3. The problem is the amplification is only about 0.5. That's a big problem for the climate models. Now, what amplifies the greenhouse effect beyond just increases in carbon dioxide? Well, you need to understand the number one greenhouse gas is not carbon dioxide. It's water vapor. And see, the problem these climate models have, they don't predict precipitation very well, rain or snow. And that's key, because until you understand and can predict where you're going to have increases in precipitation, and then you need another thing, another explanation, is how that drives formation of clouds. They don't do precipitation well, and they really don't understand cloud formation and where the clouds are. Why is that important? Those two things are the big amplification effect, and it's not 3, it's 0.5. And that's why, if you look at the predictions of these climate models versus the reality, the climate models are wrong, completely wrong. Yet this is the hysteria that the alarmists put out. Oh, we're going to have higher and higher temperature. The oceans are going to rise, and New York will be underwater, and on and on and on. They won't deal with reality because they have an agenda. What's their agenda? To cripple the capitalist system, the most productive system that we've had. That's why we have the highest standard of living, because we've resisted and delayed the interference of government into the economy. See, that's what they want to do. That is their agenda. And watch it. Mark my words, within a day or two, or maybe even already, someone will say that this horrendous storm, which isn't really that, it's a storm, it's a winter snowstorm, it happens all the time. Some are mild, some are worse, but it's called the seasons, the four seasons. You expect this. But they blame no matter any snowstorm like this, especially when they're saying, oh, this will be the worst one. This is not your normal snowstorm. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. Weather prediction is an art. It's not a certainty. And Mother Nature can fool you. The winds can shift and you can miss it. Or the winds can shift the other way and you get really dumped on. I've had that experience in Ohio. Not so much New York, but in Ohio, I remember that. It kept on snowing and snowing and snowing. I didn't have to shovel it. Didn't have to go to work. Everything was closed. Fortunate me. But that brings a point. What do you do about this? You adapt. If it's cold, put on a sweater. If it gets colder, put on some long underwear. If it gets colder, put on your heavy jacket. It's called layering. Put on mittens, then put on your gloves. Or better yet, just stay home and be warm and cuddly. Hug your kids, hug your wife or your significant other. You adapt. What you don't do is try to destroy the very economic system that has given the highest standard of living to the American people, and there are very few nations that have a higher standard of living. Switzerland is one of them. There are few, but we have a large population, and we have the highest standard of living in the world. And it's growing, even though it's growing slow because of more government intervention in the economy. You need to be thankful for that. You don't deliberately try to destroy the capitalist system by taxing, for example, carbon dioxide, a cap and trade type system. All they're trying to do there is to tax energy. Cut through all, I mean, I could go on and cap and trade. I'm not going to do it because it's not going to pass. We have some politicians that understand what this would do to the economy of the nation and the economy of the various states. And it would be like shooting ourselves in the head. Because no matter what we do in terms of cutting carbon dioxide emissions, and I'm not advocating that, you have to understand that we have nations such as China, India, Brazil, large nations that are developing. And they're going to use the resources they have. And the two resources they have, actually three, are coal, petroleum, and natural gas. And for them to develop economically and grow and raise the standard of living of their people, they're going to use that energy. And that's what China is doing. It's building coal plants as well as nuclear plants. And yes, they have pollution because they don't spend the money like we do. It's expensive to have scrubbers. Eventually, they will do that. So even if we did try to limit our carbon dioxide emissions, which I think is a bad idea, we never could be successful because we have other nations with large populations, over a billion people, such as India and China, that are going to use the resources they have, and that means coal, and that means nuclear, and that means natural gas. And they will be using cars, not bicycles, to travel. There's a great demand for energy as countries develop economically. And they really have a low priority and really don't go along with this man as the cause of climate change. They consider it nonsense, which I do. Now, it doesn't mean as their standard of living goes up, they will focus in on the environment. So China, India will be exploiting what energy resources they have to raise their standard of living. And as that standard of living goes up, they ultimately, when they reach where we are today, will focus more in on the environment. I'm not for dirty air or dirty water. Nobody is. But carbon dioxide is not a pollutant, although that's what you've been told over and over again. And it's not the most important greenhouse gas. that is water vapor. By far, it's water vapor. It's not even close. So ignore what these environmentalists, these watermelons, are going to be peddling, that this snowstorm is due to climate change, because it isn't. It's weather, folks. It's cold winter. If anything, you need to be concerned, although you won't be around, should this planet go into another ice age. And the history of the planet is we're going to go through another ice age. I can't tell you when. I don't pretend to be able to predict that. And there are very few people that could. But if you look at past history, that is what has happened, whether it's geologic time, where you're looking at hundreds of millions of years, or if you're just looking at the most current several hundred thousand years. We've had periods where the Earth has been covered in ice, in other words, glaciation. And we've had periods where we've had warming, and warming has always been good. And I mean good that we've had increase in the biosphere in terms of, for example, more humans, more plants, because it's warmer. Warming is good. It's not bad. It's good. It means we can grow crops. We have a longer period to grow crops and food. And also remember that carbon dioxide is needed by plants. They use it as food. And also keep in mind what we're talking about in carbon dioxide levels is parts per million. It is a trace gas. It is a minor trace gas of our atmosphere. And we've had levels many, many, many times higher. So carbon dioxide is not driving the change in the climate. There are many other more important causes. That's the key point. There are many causes of climate change that have a higher impact on climate. I'm not saying there's no impact. It's irrelevant. It's what accountants would call immaterial. There are some, but it's so minor, the other causes overwhelm it. So we should not be listening to government-funded scientists that'll say what the politicians want to hear. And what we're talking about are the lying lunatic left. And they are lunatics, because this could, if you follow the logic and follow their policy recommendations, could lower our standard of living, lower our rate of growth, and cripple this nation when what they're recommending will have no impact, for example, on the level of carbon dioxide. Because other nations are increasing their generation of power through coal, as well as fossil fuels, natural gas, as well as petroleum, as well as nuclear plants. You see, we should be using our resources. We are stewards and should be using the resources that we have. That doesn't mean you make the air dirty or the water dirty. No. Like I said, most Americans want clean air and clean water. But don't confuse that issue with carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is certainly not a pollutant, and we really can't control the level, and we shouldn't. What you should do is adapt, which means simply, for example, if you're in New York City and are going to go out in the snow, you do what I did as a small child. You put on your boots. You dressed in layers. You put on your underwear, then your long underwear, and your shirt and sweaters and your heavy jacket. You put on a cap, mufflers. You bundled up, and then you went outside and had fun, initially shoveling snow, but also after that task was done, maybe have a snowball fight or go to the nearest hill and slide down the hill. It's called winter. Enjoy it. Don't be frightened by the climate change or the global warming alarmist. They are alarmist, and it's become a religion with these people, a religion. What I find funny, they never look at the science. They like to say, oh, the science is with me. No, it's not. No, it is not with you. That's another big lie. I call them they're the lunatic left. It's the lying lunatic left. Don't fall for the myth and the big lie that man is responsible for climate change. It is not responsible for climate change. So I wish the people in New York well. I hope they enjoy the snow. And in 2 days, it'll pass. This too will pass. and it will warm up and the snow will melt and things will get back to normal. It's been going on for thousands of years. Now, there's one thing I want to say before I close this show. I decided to go into talk radio because of one person. Initially, I did not know I could do talk radio. And that's why I came here and have gradually convinced myself I can do this. And I think I do it fairly well, but I'm trying to get better. And you only get better by doing it over and over and over again. It's called practice. And that's what I'm doing, trying to get better at what my communication skills are. And I have, I think, gotten better. But that person is Rush Limbaugh. And I'm mentioning him today because I was a fairly early listener to his show. And I became addicted to his show. However, today, one of his earliest staff members was called HR or Kit Carson. He died this morning at 8 a.m. And it's obviously touched him, his staff, and the longtime listeners. I want to extend my condolences and sympathies to not only the family of Kit Carson, his wife and two children, but also to Rush Limbaugh and his staff. With that, let's play America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.